No surgery, no treatment that was available, which also meant that he would probably feel quite worthless, unable to contribute to the people around him or friends. And I expect that there were times when he was laying on his bed that he would dream of having a healthy body, he would dream of being able to run, maybe playing football. He might even have dreamt of being able to have a job or a wife and family. Because we're not told that he had any of these things. But there are ways in which we are like this paralysed man. We all have a mat. That was the thing that kept him. That was the thing that he didn't like. 6x3. That was his world. And he probably didn't really like it. And like him, we all have things that we don't like about ourselves. It might be the way we lose our temper, or that we are jealous of someone because they have things that we don't, whether it's personality or possessions, popularity, whatever. And we don't like people to see these things. The Bible calls those sin. And that's what the Bible tells us that those things are. And they are the things that keep us from being like the people God created for himself. And I was reminded this year in a book that I'm reading and on a daily note thing of what it's like to be made in God's image. Now, these are things that Brian has said that he doesn't really like, little tear-off things with verses, but someone must have been listening to your sermons, Brian, because this one's consecutive. And this last month, on January the 23rd, we had God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." Genesis 1:26. Little note for you to think about. I wonder if he began with a list of musts. Man must be loving, joyful, kind, compassionate, intelligent and creative. See, when it says God made us in his image, doesn't mean to say that God has two eyes, two ears, a nose and a mouth. No, it's in his character, and we have been made in his character. Another part of his character is that he is a triune God. And we could get into the Trinity, but I'm not going to this morning. But the one thing to remember about the Trinity is that each part of God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, are one, three in one, and they all love each other. And we have been made in that image. That we have not only been made for God, but that we have been made for each other. This paralysed man seemed to have nothing, but the Bible tells us in our story he had four friends. And these four friends weren't going to let anything get in the way of their friendship. They weren't going to let the fact that the man couldn't move, that they might have to spend lots of time with him, they might have to spend some of their own money, they weren't going to let anything get in the way. Quite some time ago, you might have seen, some of the older ones might have seen, a bit of poster like this. Disabled people. But you notice all the people there, they're all silhouettes. You can't see the person. And so often, we can see the disability, but not the person. We can see the problems in their lives, but not the person that's battling with them. And these four friends weren't going to let that get in the way. No, they spent time making friends with the paralysed man. They were being God's community in action. They were being like God had created. And it would take time. You can't microwave or download friendships. It's not, doesn't happen in an instance. And friendship is more than just being friendly. I wonder if mums and dads and the grown-ups here this morning have experienced someone who was friendly, but there wasn't a deep friendship. It usually starts with a telephone call, about tea time, just as you're about to sit down, and the man or woman on the other end is very, very friendly. They want to be your friend. That is until you say that you don't want to sign up to whatever they're selling, and you get the clear impression that that friendship is over. Now, these four friends, they spent a lot of time building up their friendship with the paralysed man. And then one day, they heard that Jesus was coming. And I don't think it would have been with a flyer on the local village hall notice board. You know, Jesus is coming. Remember the healings. Remember the teachings. It's another chance to hear this man in action. It's at John's house at 7:30, tea and coffee afterwards. Now, I don't think they needed that. Word had spread about the works that the Lord Jesus had done. And I expect that they got quite excited. I expect they rushed round to their friend's house and said, Jesus is here, we're going to take you to him. We're going to make a date, 8 o'clock, we'll pick you up. Literally, we'll come and pick you up and we'll take you to the house where Jesus is going to be. That friendship then would also demand something else. It would demand trust. And he had to trust in his friends that what they were doing was right. And when they got to the house, as Heather told us in the story from Luke, the house was absolutely full. And I expect that they were gutted. And that silence would come across them. What were they going to do next? We're going to have a brainstorm, or mind mapping, I think it's called now. And one of them said, we'll go through the roof. And I expect another one said, I think the owner might go through the roof if we do. But they persevered. And again, trust was required. One thing to trust his friends to carry him out onto the street to beg from day to day, but another thing to trust them to take him up the stairs. But that's what happens. Now, I don't know if in your minds you've heard all these stories before, but you still have a visualization of your own house. And you think about the dust and the plaster falling down as these friends started to make the hole in the roof. And I always think that the room was absolutely full and wonder how on earth they were going to get him in. But I think that there would be a natural opening where the people were listening to what Jesus had to say. And the four friends make this hole and their friend is dropped down right before them, before Jesus. And they look in, and verse 20 says that Jesus saw their faith and turned to the man and said, your sins are forgiven. Now, do you think that's what the man wanted to hear? I think his friends would have been telling him that they were going to take him to Jesus to get healed. And Jesus turns around and says, your sins are forgiven. Lord Jesus, and we know from our Bibles that that is the most important thing, that we are right before God. You know, if you are going to be a real friend to someone, your greatest desire for them is not their well-being or their health, but that they are right before God. And I wondered in my own mind, if that was something that could actually you know, actually happen. And then I remembered, I'd actually sat and had breakfast with a man like this in this story, paralysed from the neck downwards. I've sat next to him as he has prayed and given thanks to God from the bottom of his heart that he knew his sins were forgiven. He's a friend of John Cartmell's. Alan Mackey's his name. And some of you will know him. He still has the hardships that this paralysed man had from day to day, yet can still praise God. But there are still those that doubt. There were still men who doubt that Jesus is the Son of God, that he has the power and authority to forgive sins. And every time we meet these teachers and Pharisees of the law in the New Testament, they seem like a right miserable bunch. And we would have had some pictures now of our own church leaders, our own elders, of John Cartmell, our longest serving elder, of Brian, our main teaching elder, Edwin at the back, and our newest elder, John. There's a great picture of you, John. You're in a coat looking like something straight from the Kremlin. That was just in case you didn't think we looked serious enough. But there is a big difference between the church leaders and teachers of the Bible of that day and the ones here, and that is that these men here all know who Jesus really is. They have no doubt about his power and authority to forgive sins. They all know that the Lord Jesus loves them, and I'm sure that any one of them will be more than happy to talk to anyone who'd like to know more. But these Pharisees and teachers in our Bible story, they'd obviously arrived early. They hadn't brought anyone. They obviously didn't think they knew anyone that was in need. In fact, they'd actually come because they were looking for the Lord's return. And in the book of Isaiah, it tells us that the Lord's return would be accompanied with such miracles that the Lord Jesus was doing, that the likes of the paralyzed man would be made to walk, and the blind man that we heard about in our first service this morning would be given sight. And they were there to find out if Jesus was really this man that they knew about in the Old Testament. But I think that later on, like the disciples thought Jesus was going to be the new King David, these teachers and Pharisees, these teachers of the law and the Pharisees, must have had the impression that the Lord was going to return like one of them. Super spiritual, always living by the law of Moses, and Jesus didn't meet up to their expectations. We all have expectations, but if they had just looked at their Bible, they would have seen that Jesus was who he said he was. Right before their very eyes, Jesus performs the miracle and the paralyzed man is able to walk. And Jesus didn't do this to prove them all wrong. No, Jesus performed the miracle to prove them right. He'd already heard them in their mind saying, only God can forgive sins. And Jesus performs the miracle so that they can see that. And yet still, even before their very eyes see miracles, they walk away judgmental and in doubt. And there are still people today that can see with their very eyes the changes that Jesus makes in people's lives, yet will walk away and doubt. Jesus had love and compassion for the paralyzed man, for the sinner. And he wanted those teachers of the law to have that same compassion. But they wouldn't even mix with people that needed help the most. Jesus would demonstrate that love even more, to the full extent, and not like our puppets, not a sentimental Valentine type of love, but a real love, by going to a cross and dying in our place, that we might be able to be his friends and followers. John 15 and verse 13 tells us, greater love has no man than he lay down his life for his friend. Our paralyzed man was helpless before Jesus. So are we. The paralyzed man had his sins forgiven, and so can we. The paralyzed man had friends who cared enough to bring him to Jesus. You and I can be a caring friend by bringing someone to Jesus. If you have any doubt about the new life that this man experienced, and you still have doubts, you want to speak to someone like Alan Mackey, or who still has the hardships, or to one of the leaders that I've pointed out this morning. Our story ends and tells us that everyone was absolutely amazed at what they'd seen. So amazed that they went out singing praises to God. Now, if you've experienced that love and put your trust in the Lord Jesus, maybe you will join with me in singing in praise our next song, When I Was Lost.